So tonight I have a special guest up here with me, my wonderful wife, Jess.
Yay. Oh,
wow,
boy,
applause. So I'm going to allow her to open tonight, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So something that I'm sure you've all looked around and experienced this last year, and we've been thinking about a lot, is how our churches, it's that new dynamic church, right? So like through this whole year, we've gone in and out of all this technology and meeting in person and all this kind of uncertainty. And we, as a church, we just continue to change and grow with whatever the times require. Right, the word is constant, but we can change based on whatever the situation might be. And even in our fellowship, looking around, this is like a seat of privilege up here, that we've got toddlers, we have grandparents, and then all of us in between, which is kind of like a unique thing for a fellowship, that there's a lot of different ages, a lot of different needs to be met. So you guys can turn to Mark chapter 10. So this is going to have a lot to do about children. Yay, says Elizabeth. So being that we have all of these different kind of age groups and different abilities, different attention spans, we just kind of wanted to regroup as a fellowship as we're moving towards this kind of family fellowship as to how the kids fit in. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, and they brought young children to him, which is to Jesus Christ, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children, suffer means allow, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. And how sweet is that? That idea of Jesus Christ getting to just like cuddle a kid and minister the word to them and really take care of them and love them. So obviously it's important that the kids are here at fellowship and learn God's word. And we want to have them included in the fellowship more and more. We can turn to Deuteronomy 6. Way in the beginning. This one, I feel like every time Kirsty teaches to the parents, she goes to this verse. So this will be familiar to so many people. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And for those of us who are actively parenting, that is all our day, isn't it? You know, like when we're in the house, when we're out of the house, when we're lying down, when we get up, we're supposed to be speaking the word to our kids and really encouraging them and helping them to develop that relationship with God. And of course, that doesn't stop when we come to fellowship, that here we are at fellowship with our kids, and it is important that they show reverence and respect to God and his word by sitting still and sitting quiet, as you guys are doing so well with all the little ones. And that's going to change, of course, also based on your child's day, your child's age, what has happened throughout their day, whatever might be going on in their mind. So like the rest of us that are on the older side, we're here and we're going to, we have great renewed minds. So we can like these little noises, these little things that maybe they are a little antsy, like we can get past that, right? It's reasonable to require my 13-year-old to sit still and quiet. You're doing a good job, Hannah. Good job. And then there's going to be some days when someone like Erin can't sit still and quiet. She's doing a great job. And she really is. Like, I remember being in those situations where you're like, oh my gosh, they're so loud. They're not loud. A squirmy kid, it's not the end of the world, right? Not the end of the world.
Not the end of the world.
Right? But then as we move forward, we would love to have the kids included more and more in fellowship in terms of them being able to listen to the teaching, understand a little bit about what's going on in the teaching, and be able to take that with them throughout the day, right? They're not, I mean, speaking from my children, my kids don't get the whole of Justin's teachings every week. But they can pick, hopefully, they can pick a couple things out from that teaching, and that's really our goal. It's not perfection, it's like this thing that we're aiming towards, is to build that heart and that relationship between our kids and God. So we kind of wanted to talk tonight about how that looks and different strategies. And these strategies aren't like chapter and verse. It's going to be what works for all of you guys. You know your kids better than we know your kids. If you don't use these strategies, we're not going to sit in judgment and be like, oh, they're not drawing tonight or anything like that. Certainly, again, based on your child and their day and where they are mentally, it's going to change. But we wanted to give you some strategies as to how to involve the kids more and more in fellowship. One thing that Christy Nafee always talks about is that parents are child whisperers. So as parents, what we can do is we can hear the verse that Justin shares, and we can think about, okay, what small piece of that can my child understand? And then we whisper it to them. And as long as it's a very, like, small whisper, you're not going to be disrupting the teacher. And that's going to be important to get that child to remember what's going on in the teaching, right? So if we went back to, like, this Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, that's not something that every child in here is going to understand. But you could whisper and say, we're supposed to love God. And if they have a notebook, which we're going to be giving out, you can say, you can draw a heart, because a heart is something that teaches you about love or reminds you about love. And that's okay. It's okay to whisper in your child's ear and help them to understand the verse more and more. And let's see, what else do I have? And God's going to work in each of you as parents to know exactly what your child needs and what they can handle during each fellowship. The goal for our child is to learn more and more about God and develop that individual relationship with Him. So tonight, we're going to try to mimic that. Justin's going to teach, and then I'll teach to the kids and help them to take notes throughout the teaching. That's okay with you guys. We always have Bibles available. I buy them at the dollar store. So the kids are, if you want your children to use these Bibles, it's available. And if they rip or if they accidentally get colored on, it's not a big deal. It's not your $100 Cambridge Bible. So you're welcome to use these. We've got a few back there, and I bought some more today. And then if all the kids want to, again, parents, if it's okay with you, they can come up. And we have notebooks for everybody and little crayons, and the kids can take notes tonight. If you guys want to, you can come up and get them. Would you like to? You can draw with me tonight? You probably can draw better than I can. What color do you want, Holden? The red? Okay. Erin, what color do you... Oh, here, and make sure you get some crayons. Erin, here you go. You may, of course. Chris, did you get crayons? Do you need crayons? Maverick, what would you like? Blue? Blue's my favorite color. Would you like crayons?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Erin, what color, what tone would you like?
I like the green.
The green? I like green. Hannah and Elizabeth, do you want any? Or are you going to use what you have?
Sure.
Come on up. Blue? You good, huh? Okay. All right. So Justin's going to share the word, and we're going to pause every so often, and then I'm going to help the kids to draw part of what Justin's teaching on, okay? Does that sound good? Oh, wait, can I share one more thing?
Yes.
Sorry. So I was looking at the Principles of Parenting series today, and they have quotes by Dr. Worrell, and this one just was so sweet to me. It says, when churches met in the homes, the small groups made possible participation by everyone, as well as the giving of attention and help to the individual. Our children could meet in a separate room with an adult teaching them the Word of God, or, like we're doing here, they could sit with the adults. Hearing the Word of God properly explained and the manifestations operated would be the greatest thing that could be done for them. And then he's also quoted in saying in Lifelines, the future of this ministry is in the children. So we just love having you guys here as families, and we thought that this would be a great way to continue to grow as a fellowship.
Excellent. Well, thank you, honey.
You're on.
All right, so with that in mind, we're going to go take our Bibles tonight and go to John chapter 4, verse 24. And tonight I'm going to share on some qualities of God. So these are just qualities or attributes of God. Very simple things that the Bible says that God is or does so many things. When I was preparing this teaching, I had a multitude of options to choose from. And because I want to keep this kind of brief tonight, I had to pare it down to just a few. But that's a fun exercise sometime to see all the things that the Bible says God is or does. Attributes of God. So we're going to start with John 4, verse 24. And it says, God is a spirit. That's right. So one of the attributes or qualities of God is that he is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God, one of the things, one of the attributes of God, is that he is spirit. Okay, he doesn't embody anything in the physical realm. He's spirit. So can you see God? With your eyeballs? No, you can't. Can you smell God? No.
Nope.
I'm sure you'd smell awesome. Can you taste God? No, you can't. But God is still there, right? God is still there. You can't see him, smell him, or taste him, but you know he's there. So one example that we like to use sometimes is like wind, right? Like you see this paper, and can you see the breath coming out of my mouth? Can you see it? No, but watch. You can see its effect, right? You know it's there even though you can't see it. And God's the same way. We know he's there even though you can't see him.
All right, will you give us a hard one to start with?
Yes.
So you're asking us to draw something that we can't really see.
I know.
All right.
It's unfair.
Okay. Well, maybe what we'll do then is for the kids who are in school, you guys can, you know your letters, right? So when we talk about God, we always, it's a nice thing because we respect God, is that we do our capital G-O-D. Or you could do this, G-O-D. Okay? And so that's something that you guys can write in your notebook, G-O-D. So when we talk about God being spirit, we can't really draw spirit, but we can draw God. And I'm going to do, because you're teaching us God is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say God is dot, dot, dot. And then we'll draw the rest of the things.
Awesome.
Okay. So G-O-D spells God.
Right. So for the kids who obviously can't write out full words, one of the things we are going to do tonight is draw pictures to represent what we hear. God is the tough one, so getting them used to writing G-O-D is always a help, right? And God is spirit. So we're going to go to Jeremiah 23 next. Jeremiah 23, verse 23. So that's something that the kids can practice.
Sorry, Justin, can you repeat that, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah 23, 23. Jeremiah 23:23 says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" And so one of the attributes of God is that God is everywhere. He fills the heaven and earth. So wherever you are, wherever that is, God is there too. Okay? So one of the things that we say about God is everywhere. Right? In Hebrews 13:5, we won't go there, but it says God will never leave us or forsake us. It means that God is always there with us. So one of the qualities of God is that he's everywhere and he's never far away from us. He will never leave us.
All right. So now we have to draw God being close to us. Can we do that? Holden, do you think we can do it?
No.
No? All right. We're going to try, though. All right, so if we're going to talk about God, how do we spell God? G-O-D. So let's write God. G-O-D. And really close to God, I'm going to draw me. Now, I have crazy curly hair. You don't. But I'm going to draw myself with my crazy curly hair really close to God. And God is really close to me because God's never going to leave me or forsake me. Maybe I should make myself have like orange hair.
That'd be kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy, orange hair. And I'm going to give myself a smile because I'm happy that God is close to me. Okay.
Thanks. All right, so the next place we're going to go is 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. So now we're going to do a couple easy ones for you. 1 John, yeah, it started off really challenging. I'm going to dial it back. 1 John 4, 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
God is love. One of the attributes of God is that he is love. He is love. We're supposed to love each other, right? I'm supposed to love you and you're supposed to love me. We can do this because love comes from God and God is love.
All right. Yeah, Elizabeth.
What verse?
Oh, that was 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Okay. So when I think about love, I think about a heart. Can you guys draw hearts? That God is, this one, God is near to me. And then we're going to say God is love. And you can draw a heart. And maybe while Justin keeps talking, you want to trace over your heart with a different color. And you can remember God is love.
Right. So you might not be able to write all of what I'm saying in a note with letters, but you can draw a heart when you hear the word love, right? And that helps you remember. Go to chapter 1 of 1 John, just a couple pages back. 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. At all. God is light. And in him is no darkness whatsoever. Right? And that light is God's goodness and clarity and truth. All the things that we get when we see light. When we have light in our lives. Right? There's no confusion. There's no darkness. There's no bad. It's only good. Right? And that's God. God is light.
Okay, so maybe you guys have a yellow crayon, although you could draw in whatever color you want to, but I'm going to draw the sun because the sun is light, right? That provides light to us in the daytime. So God is near to us, God is love, and now we'll draw a sunshine for God is light. I only have orange, I don't have yellow, but you guys get the picture, right? Or if you can draw a light bulb, you could draw that. I can't draw it, so I'm not going to. God is near to us, God is love, and God is light.
All right. So now we're going to go to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. And we're going to go to verse 17. So we're seeing things that God is, attributes and qualities of God. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Right? And so one of the things that God is he's powerful. He's powerful, and he is strong, and he is able. There is nothing that is too hard for God, right? He's powerful, he's strong.
All right, this one's a challenge. How about strong? How would you guys draw strong? What's something that's really strong? Like maybe we could do it like we were doing in the song. Can you draw like this? I could try like this, right? Let's see. Justin, you gonna coach me on this one?
Yeah, just draw a big beefy arm.
A big beefy arm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe like a little mound, like a hill.
Like a, that's maybe the hand.
Uh-huh. Oh, there it is.
And then
that's a big,
big muscle.
Right. That is a big beefy arm.
See, oh, this is why Justin does the drawings at Fellowship.
Yeah,
yes.
Perfect.
So God is near to us. God is love. God is light, and God is strong and powerful.
Okay, so we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And sometimes I'm going to go to a couple verses, like I am right now, that talk about the same thing, right? Sometimes I go to a couple verses that talk about the same thing. Or sometimes maybe I start to go to a verse while you're still drawing a big beefy arm. That's okay. That's okay. Right? It's important that you pick up on what you hear and draw it or write it out so that you remember it. If you don't get everything, that's okay. Don't worry. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And that nothing is not anything spoken. So anything that God speaks of in his word or to you is not impossible for him. He'll do it. He's able to do it. Right? It's devoid. Nothing shall be impossible or devoid of power. He's able to do it. He has the power to do what he says. Okay? So if I move on to another verse about the subject, you can continue to draw what you heard in the last verse, and that's okay. We're going to go to Romans chapter 16, verse 20, to see the next thing that God is. And guess what? We only have two things left, so I know. Easy peasy. Romans 16, verse 20. And this one you don't have to really work for. You've got a symbol for this one. Romans 16, verse 20. It says, "And the God of what?
Peace."
God of peace. So God is a God of peace. It says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." How neat is that? God is a God of peace. He is a God of peace. Satan is the one who wants us to be afraid, to be nervous, to be uneasy. But God helps us stomp on him, right? Because he is a God of peace. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be nervous. because we have a God of peace. Go ahead.
All right, so there's a sign for peace. Do you guys want to draw it together? The sign, it's pretty easy because it's just circles and lines, and if I can do it, you can do it too. I'm going to do it purple. You can do whatever color you want to. So it's a big circle, and then kind of like an upside down Y. But that's the God, that's peace. But maybe there's something else in your mind that's better for peace. Maybe it's like a sleeping person, right? Because when you're sleeping, you're so peaceful. So you could draw that instead. Or you could draw maybe like you cuddled up with a book or a stuffed animal, whatever is peaceful to you. But this is what I could draw. So I'm going to be able to remember that God is peace. God is strong and able and powerful. God is light. God is love. And God is really close to me. He's near me.
Yeah, nice. We're going to go to another verse about peace in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7.
So they can keep drawing, right? Keep drawing peace?
That's right.
Okay.
Philippians 4, 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So that God is a God of peace, and the peace from God is so big we can't even understand it. But what it does is it guards our hearts and our minds, right? So when our brains might feel afraid or nervous or scared, that peace of God can guard it and keep us from being nervous, afraid, or scared, right? That peace keeps us and guards us. All right, and the last thing we're going to go look at is in Psalm 117. Psalm 117. In verse, we're going to read the whole chapter. Of the whole thing, guys. Psalm 117, the whole chapter. It's two verses. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." God is a God who is kind. He's a God of great kindness and great compassion. Right? He really, really cares about you. That's our God. He's a God of kindness. He's not a mean God who beats you up. He's a God who's very kind to you.
All right, so now we're going to draw kind, because God is kind. So, what have I used yet? Maybe green. I think that it's really kind when we give hugs. So I'm going to draw two people giving each other a hug, but my people are going to be stick people. You guys can maybe do this better. Or maybe you want to draw, like, it's kind to give something to somebody. So maybe you want to draw your person with a present giving it to someone else. But I'm going to draw a hug, okay? So I'm going to do one stick person here with big long arms reaching out for their friend, and another stick person here with big long arms reaching out for their friend. And they're both really happy because it's wonderful to be kind and it makes someone else happy. So then we can remember that God is kind, God is peace, God is powerful and able, God is light, God is love, and God is near to us.
Thank you. And we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. So we've looked at tonight lots of things that God is, and that's just a few of the many, many things that God is. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to go to verse 4. And that's something that we can take home with us tonight. Are these things that God is? And we can look up in the Bible other things that God is if we want to know more about him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us," or made us alive together with Christ, "by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And that last verse is saying, in the ages to come, which means forever and ever, because that's how long we get to spend with God, forever and ever. For forever and ever, God will show us his great kindness forever and ever. Right? God wants to spend forever being kind to you. Right? How cool is that? That's what God wants. Out of all the things that God could do, because he could do anything, he wants to spend forever being kind to you. Right? That's a God who really cares and who really loves us. So those are six things that God is. Seven. God is spirit, too. But God is always near us. He's love. He's light. Right? He's strong. He's a God of peace. And he's a kind God. Right? And these are all very simple things for us to understand, but they're all immeasurably awesome when it comes to God. Right? He loves us so much.